Thank you, Lord. Well, I want more of him, don't you? Not less. Less of me, more of him. The more we let our spirit man shine through, the more we let God shine through. Teaching this morning called Letting the Real You Shine Through. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures today and see how we are to let the real us shine through. And I'm going to read Brother Hagin's health food. This is called Becoming Spirit Conscious. Hope I can read this. It kind of says, it helped my faith immeasurably when I was able to say, I am a spirit being. I have a soul and I live in a body. He says, see 1 Thessalonians 5:23 on that. You see, my spirit is my heart. It is with the heart, with the spirit, that I believe. When I learned this, I stopped paying attention to my body. I stopped paying attention to my feelings. Instead of being body conscious, I became spirit conscious. Now, if you're more body conscious, you're concerned about the body, and you'll see someone and say, how are you feeling? And the person will respond by saying, I've got a sore throat or some other ailment. People are more conscious of the body than they are of the spirit. The body dominates them. The body rules them. I know people that way. Any little thing, man, they're off to the doctor. The body rules them. They can never talk about, all they ever talk about is the physical man. All, you know, feelings, how they feel. Well, the spirit man ought to be first. And if they'll stop being so conscious of their body and become spirit conscious, their body will get in line and will start acting and feeling better. If someone asks me how I'm feeling, I don't tell him or her how I feel. I don't pay any attention to my feelings. I say, I'm well, thank you. Then I begin to tell them what the Bible says. Now, I've learned by experience that the more I say about what the Bible says, the better I feel. I believe in health and healing, so I talk health and healing, and my body responds to those words. And here's the confession. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Instead of being so concerned about my body, instead of allowing my body to rule me, I let my spirit man, my heart, rule me. As a result, my body lines up with my spirit. Brother Hagin was very simple in everything he wrote, and I'm so glad because it works. Yeah. He walked it out by experience. Okay, we're going to becoming spirit conscious. Keep your body under. Let's look at Ephesians. This was the first place that the Lord brought me to. This isn't something we try to do in ourselves. This is something that is by the Spirit. And Paul gave us a couple of prayers in Ephesians. And we'll read those two prayers right quick. First one's Ephesians 1:17. And I always put myself in its place, and I'll read it that way, so you'll hear it that way. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give me, unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And if you want to help somebody else, unto whoever. The eyes of my understanding been enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to me who believes, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So, this helps us see where we're really seated. It's real easy to get in the world and just think this is where I'm stuck instead of where I really am seated. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named. I like the way Billy Graham says it. She goes, far above. Far above. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under my feet and gave me to be the head over all things, or gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And don't stop there. Keep going. And me hath he quickened, who was dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Isn't this what Brother Hagin was just talking about? Walking by the flesh, talking about how we feel. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love toward me, wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, hath quickened me together with Christ. By grace I'm saved, and hath raised me up together, made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward me through Christ Jesus. For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God. This is a supernatural process that we go through. Okay, flip over to 3:14. See, our spirit man, even though it's born again, it has to come, you know, our bodies have to come into line with what's happened to us inside. Yeah. You know, for a lot of people, it's just real detached. Well, I got saved when I was 10, and they never do anything with it. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think, according to the power that works in me, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all ages, world without end. Amen. So this is a work of grace. See, we act to faith the word of God, and this is a work of grace. Okay, let me just read this. This is an experience I had. I have had the Lord prompt me to insert certain people's names in these prayers. And when I do, I see results, sometimes just in a few weeks. Just talking to people can sometimes be ineffective, but this is a great method if the Lord leads you to do it. So his word goes to work on the situation without the person even being aware of it, and it will keep you out of arguing with people. Somebody you think, oh, I can't do anything about that, can't say nothing, put them in the Ephesians prayers. The real man is the man on the inside. Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart. That's 1 Peter 3:4. We'll look there. We need to be paying attention to what the inward man is doing and saying, not what the outer man is experiencing. Whole world is running after what the outer man is experiencing. Okay, 1:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. He's talking about women there, but to everyone, it's the hidden man of the heart. The heart there means the thoughts and feelings. This is how we are made in God's likeness. Genesis 1:26-28, talking about God's likeness and his image. This is what an image is. Now this is pretty cool. To shade, a phantom, illusion, resemblance, a representative figure. When I was reading this, what I saw was God moves, we move. God said, we move. God, whatever God does, there we are. There we are. Isn't that the way he wants it? He's in the lead. He's calling the shots. Okay. The likeness there means resemblance, model, or shape. Now, not talking about God is not a man. I've got that scripture written down here in Numbers. Because we live in a physical world, we have been given a physical body to be able to interact. A spirit cannot do that. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you'll notice, any religion in the world, it's all physical worship. And it's usually some kind of fleshly manifestation they have to do. A lot of them are sexual things. Some of them are cutting themselves and doing all this sacrificing and all this mess. But it's not, God's not that way. The whole chapter of John, chapter 4, when Jesus was doing the exchange with the woman at the well, he was talking to her about there's a time coming that's going to change. You'll no longer worship here in the mountains or us in the temple. It would be an inside walk. That's when he said, you know, God's a spirit. That's how we worship him. We worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why a lot of people, I did a series called New Testament Worship. And a lot of people would probably think you might hear a lot of things about that, but what the Lord led me to was Romans 12, 1 and 2. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice and renewing your mind to the Word of God was your spiritual act of worship. So it's all about an inside walk. It's not about external things. Churchy is very external. It is. You come in and you have your format and you go through your little routine. You know, it's got to be this way. I don't want it to be that way. But that's the way it is. It's external. All right. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. The first was 1 Corinthians. Not 1 Corinthians, just Corinthians. Wait a minute. Either I misspelled it or it's Colossians. So let me look at 1 Corinthians right quick and see. Sometimes I get to typing so fast, I don't. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Colossians. Okay. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? I hope that's what I'm talking about here, because I don't, I'm going to go back to, Well, I know it's not 1 Corinthians, so Colossians 1:15. Okay, for whatever that means. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Then talking about the invisible God. Well, our man on the inside is invisible. And God's invisible to the world, right? So in the natural, God is invisible as well as the real us, hidden but real. Our bodies are just our earth suits. Always, years ago when I first started teaching, the Lord began to give me a parallel of, think about the NASA astronauts, and you are aliens. It says in Hebrews that we were, some of them were, the Faith Hall of Fame, they were aliens on the earth. And the Lord said, your body is like a NASA astronaut suit that they put on. It's what helps you motivate in this world, touch things, interact, and do what you need to do. It was never meant to rule us. Okay, so after the fall, God's spirit man became flesh-ruled. God sent Jesus as the man's way back to God. Anybody ever gives you this line of bullet, what do we need Jesus for? Well, you can't get to God in your flesh. It's not happening. All right, this is John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you could say God sent Jesus on a rescue mission, gave Him an earth suit to come here and show us how. He'd show our way back to God. Okay, 14:6 now. It is not possible to get back to God without Jesus, even though many think they can. They think they're going to do it by their own ways. That's why there's so many religions. And if anybody tells you all of them are the same, don't believe that. There's someone that I listen to, and I think that the lady has a lot of insight on a lot of things. And I don't know where she gets the information. I haven't studied it out, but she believes that the devil distorted all the religions, and really all of them lead back to God. And I'm just going, don't think so. I don't think so. Like I said, I'm not going there. I can't cotton to that. This is John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's only one way to Jesus, no matter what anybody might say. Okay, remember the Revelation teaching Wednesday night. God had to force the man out of his paradise, and he put four angels with flaming swords to guard the way back until the Son of Man could be sent to rectify what the man allowed the devil to do to him. He had to run him out of the garden because the tree of life was there, and if he partook of it in that state, he would have been that way for eternity. And we would have been in that state too. Horrible. Like probably the riots and the Antifa stuff we're seeing, that would have been the way everybody lived, and to be forever, all the time. Man would have lived forever in that state. Been horrible. So God did him a favor by what he did. No man has ever seen God. And we're going to look a few scriptures on that. John 1 again, verse 18. No man, verse 18, 1:18, John. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus brought Father's love to the earth. Moses wanted to see God so bad, but God could not allow it. Let's look at Exodus 33. Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Hey, there's Jesus. See the symbology? Mm-hmm. The only way that he could see the Father would be through Jesus. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Thank God one day it won't be this way. We will all be changed. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Now, most churchy indoctrination say this is the rapture. I say, no, it's not. Right here, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, if you remember Wednesday night, I read about Revelation, where there's somewhere in there, right after the millennial reign starts, that there's actually going to be the first resurrection. And this could possibly be what this is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, because we know Matthew 24 talks about he'll come at the end of the tribulation, which is supposedly the last trumpet. We'll see. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now we've seen a few places like in Isaiah where it says they'll thrust themselves with a sword, but they won't die. It won't harm them. So it seems like there's going to be something that's going to be changed. I mean, nothing's going to harm or hurt in all this holy mountain. So it appears to me there's going to be some kind of changing. So when the corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So sometime during this process, we will be changed. We will be. Where exactly that time is placed, I'm not sure at this point. Maybe the Lord will reveal it to us later. All right. Thank God one day we will be. No longer will we, because it says in Revelation, in fact, maybe I'll just turn there for a second. If I remember what chapter, do you remember what chapter that was, Danny? Guess not. I think it's like 19. Let me see here.
When Jesus comes, it's 19.
Yeah.
Clothed with the
belt. Well, this is when he overthrows the deep state, the swamp.
Down at the end, verses 20, the beast is taken with him, the false prophet.
Okay, right here, verse 6. It talks about he threw the devil in the pit. But the rest of the dead lived not. He talked about those that, wait a minute, let me just read it all that way. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay. All right. Many in the church today would say that's the rapture. I don't believe so. All right. Let's look at the last trump just a minute. I had that down here. Didn't know I did. The Lord gives it to me, and I put it aside, and I don't pick it up again until I stand here. So I'm going, what do we have today, Lord? I don't even know. Okay, this is Revelation 11:15. This is the last trumpet. Chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Sounds like the ushering of the 1,000-year millennial reign, doesn't it? And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, and they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. and shouldest destroy them that destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Which from my teachings from Irvin Baxter, that really indicates the Battle of Armageddon. So it's kind of all right here, culminating at the end when this is taking place, except the judgment will be after the 1,000 years. So read it for yourself and really read it. I heard somebody say one time, I'd been so indoctrinated, didn't know what to believe, that I read it backwards. And when reading it backwards, I began to see the truth. And I thought, wow, never heard about that, heard that before. Anyway, read it. Read it and just sit and think about what it's saying instead of what you've been taught or who everybody else's book. Yeah. The Lord takes out the deep state and his kingdom is set up. Wait for it. Yep, first resurrection, verse 20, 1 through 6. Now we will be like Adam before the fall, completely spirit ruled, and the flesh will no longer give us a problem. We can't die and nothing can harm us. Boy, looking forward to that. My point in all of this is to encourage you to strengthen your inner man, for it is the real you, and it is the spirit man that will put you over and help you conquer all the battles that are waged against you right now. The weapons of our warfare aren't physical. If they needed to be, they would have been. But they're what? They're spiritual. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing. That's the only thing the devil has on us. He tries to manipulate our thoughts. That's how he's nearly taken over the whole world, through his propaganda. And I'm not going to get off on that. That's for Wednesday night. Anyway, praying the Ephesians prayers will help with this, as well as praying in the Spirit. Jude 17 through 20. Jude's a little book, but very powerful. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. Boy, are we seeing that today. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See, that's what's going to win a lot of these people, is the love of God. All right, God has given us a deposit of what we need until the change comes. All right, this is 2 Corinthians 1:22. It's like when you make a real estate deal, you put down earnest money. This is what God has done. Until this time comes to completion, God has given us earnest. And that's kind of the way it says it. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So you've got a deposit, enough to keep you walking in the Spirit and overcoming until the change comes. Then guess what? Revelation 21. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And they shall no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God used to walk with Adam in the garden. Well, a lot of people say, well, it was the Lord God. It was actually Jesus. But, you know, I'll take either one or both. Yeah. For now, though, we must strengthen our inner man. This is how we will be known. Did you know that? God knows you by your inner man. Men put such a priority on the flesh, but God looks at the heart. This is 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as also I am known. God has gone to great lengths to restore the fellowship that he lost with mankind. In the Old Testament, he manifested himself at times in disguises. First one was Moses in the burning bush. Ezekiel in chapter 8, verse 2, describes the Lord as fire from the waist down and fire from the waist up. For the Israelites, it was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But soon, this will happen. Did I just read 21 to or 22? 21? Well, let's go to 22 now. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, were there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We don't need any med beds. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. No more disguises. And I lost my place just a minute. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Thank you. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wonderful place. All right, I want to read you one more devotion. Brother Hagin. This is called Keep My Body Under. In fact, I've got three of them here. They were so good, I just thought they were all about what the Lord was having me bring here. Keep your body under. Notice that the scripture says, I keep my body under. If your body were the real you, Paul would have said, I keep myself under. I bring myself into subjection. But he didn't say that. He said, I keep my body under. Well, what did he bring his body into subjection to? His spirit. He didn't let his body dominate him. Rather, spirit dominated his body. He didn't let his body dictate to his spirit. His spirit dictated to his body. This principle has to do with divine healing. Speak to your body and tell it to obey the word. Say to your body, the word says that you're healed, so quit acting up. I say it quite often. Quit acting up. Had enough of you. That's what I said. It's like a spoilt brat child. That's keeping your body under. Don't let your body dominate you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You have to discipline yourself. I won't do it because you say it one time. You have to discipline your body. Discipline yourself to do this. Just like you got to discipline a child. Don't let your body tell you what to do. You tell your body what it can and can't do. And your spirit is dominating your body, and the life of God is in your spirit. That life is going to be flowing into your body. That's divine healing. I keep my body under. I don't let it dominate me. I don't let it tell me what to do. Instead, I tell my body what to do. I dictate what it can and can't do. Really, the way he's saying that, divine healing is just something that's bam, you go on your way, do nothing, and then here comes another situation, bam. No, this is a continual life flow. Spirit words, life flow. It's something we walk in. It's not something you just get once in a while. All right, this is from Kenneth Copeland. Change the image. And I can't, the scripture is so small, for we are... saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For when a man what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's Romans 8:24-29, I think. All right, according to Romans, hope is actually looking at something you can't see. How do you do that? You do it by looking at the promises of God in the Word until with your inner eyes, the eyes of your spirit, a picture is formed. Isn't that what we've been talking about? For example, one of the hardest things I ever had to do was face the fact that the inner image I had of myself physically was fat. You know, Kenneth Copeland had a real problem with fat. He had a house, they had a housekeeper that every day made two pies, one for him and one for the rest of the family. So he had a, well, come home from school, he had a pie every day. It didn't matter how hard I tried to change, it wouldn't go away. I was always on a diet. I must have lost and regained hundreds of pounds over the years. I finally had to admit that as long as my inner image of myself was fat, my inner self was going to match it. Remember, it's faith that changes things, and without the inner image of hope, faith cannot work. It's how Father God operates. He got a picture of what he wanted, then he spoke it. So I decided to fast for 7 days. I searched my Bible for every scripture I could find on food and eating, and I found many. I meditated on every one of those scriptures and prayed in the Spirit for 7 full days. What was I doing? I was laying hold on a different inner image. This is not something you can do overnight. It takes time, especially if the inner image you're changing has been there for years. But you can do it. Go to the Word of God today and begin to change the image inside of you, the images inside of you. Change them from images of despair to images of hope. Get a blueprint in your heart and your faith will build on it. And he gives a scripture when Abraham and Sarah, you know, Romans 4, that they finally got a hold of what God was saying and telling them instead of trying to do stuff themselves in the flesh. They began to believe God and gave praise and thanks to God. They got the inner picture when God renamed them Father and Mother of Nations. Instead of Father and Mother of a Multitude, I think it was, it went to Nations. Sarah had to see herself as a mom with multitude of babies. It gave her strength to conceive seed, Hebrews 11 says. Okay.